Well, I tell you what, that was good. That was good, Brother Steve, Sister Sharon. And I tell you, it's good to see Steve and Sharon. I'll never forget the first. Well, I met them here at Grace. That's where I met you at. It was right here several years ago. And fell in love with Steve and Sharon. And when we moved back to Eastern Kentucky, I was pastoring. And the Lord laid it on my heart to get Brother Steve and Sister Sharon to come and sing to our people and be with us there for a weekend. And Brother Dwight Kaufman preached, I believe, yes, if I correctly understand my thoughts there on that. And Steve and Sharon came to our home, and we ate together, and some of our members came over, and we had a good time of fellowship. But the most outstanding thing about that whole weekend was on Monday, one of my men and I got Sharon and Steve in my car, and we was headed to Indianapolis, Indiana. We was going up 75, and all of a sudden it dawned on me, I'd never been to Indianapolis, Indiana. And I thought, good night, here I am taking a blind man and a blind woman back to where they live at, and I ain't never been there. And I thought, now how in the world am I going to know where they live at? Steve said, don't worry about it. I'll take you right to where I live at. I said, you sure? He took me right to the driveway. And me and Clifford got out, and we went in. And I remember we standing there in their house. It was already dark time we got there. And Steve was taking me through the house, and he forgot to turn on the lights. I mean, it was like the blind leading the blind.
Hey, we got to one room. He said, "Steve," I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I can't see."
But we had a lot of fun. But you know, the funniest thing about that whole trip was, Steve took me. We never missed a turn off. I mean, we went straight to the driveway where they lived, and I couldn't go back there again, save my life. But when Clifford and I left, we got lost three times trying to get back out of Indianapolis, Indiana. I'd never been there. And I've laughed about that ever since. But I tell you, Steve, we love you and Sharon. I tell you, I like that kind of singing, don't you? I tell you, we got so modern in our churches, we modern God right out the front door. And I like that old time. I tell you, that last song just blessed my heart. All of it was good, but that last song's got a message in it. I don't know how a lost person could sit and listen to what their Savior done for them and not want to get saved. But anyway, we just had a good time. And we went over to our house that day after church. Dwight Kaufman and Sharon and Steve. Let me tell you this, we'll read the scripture and preach. And we got in there, and we got the whole Sunday afternoon. We was just sitting around fellowshipping. And Steve, some of them still remind me of that, said, "Preacher, when you going to get that fella back down here that was here, him and his wife that sings that was blind?" And I said, "Well, one of these days we may do that." But they never will forget that time that Steve sat there in my living room, my house, and told when he was a little boy in the wintertime. It was freezing outside. It was below zero. And they had run out of water. And Steve's daddy told him to take the bucket and go out there and prime that pump and pump some water. But be sure, son, don't stick your tongue to that frozen pump. He told that story, and I tell you what, I like to lay down the floor and cry. He stuck his tongue to that pump, and he was hot, couldn't get loose from it, and he was stuck. But we had fun. Listen, God's people ought to have fun. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 21. Boy, it's good to have Patrick Yates and his mother with us tonight. And when I was at Second Baptist a few years ago, many moons ago, Patrick wasn't even saved. And boy, God saved him. And we witnessed to him. Never forget witnessing to him in that trailer. And I tell you, he's got a godly mama. And Patrick's preaching now. I went down and preached for him a couple of years ago at his church. Where was that at, Brother Patrick? Princeton. Down in Princeton. Had a good revival down there. And we need to pray for Patrick's daddy. He's never got saved yet. And I hope he'll come one night. But anyway, 1 Kings chapter 21. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Would you stand? Let's read some scripture together. 1 Kings 21. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money. Or else, if it please thee, I'll give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. Father, I pray you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word. And God, give us a good meeting this week. And God, may you lift up the hearts of your people, and God, just stir our very souls to this hour that we're living, that we might be all that we should be for our wondrous, wonderful, worthy Lord. And Father, that we might bring honor and glory to Him. God, I pray that you just revive us, that we might rejoice in Thee. Now, God, speak through thy servant tonight. God, I pray that, Lord, that you'd give us that liberty that makes preaching come easy. And Lord, speak to us through your word. We'll bow our unworthy heads at the bloodstained feet of our Savior and Lord. For we ask it in that name that's above every name. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your Bibles open here to 1 Kings chapter 21. Ahab in this chapter is the wicked king in the city of Samaria. He's always used to getting his way, and he's used to people bowing down at his every whim. Look at verse 25 of this chapter. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. You see, Ahab was the type of person that anybody couldn't understand why everybody just wasn't like Ahab. Ahab one day encountered this individual in this chapter by the name of Naboth. Naboth lived in the city of Jezreel, and he had a vineyard there. And it was right beside the palace of Ahab. And Naboth refused to sell Ahab his vineyard that had been given to him by his fathers, that had been passed down. Now, I'm glad the Bible tells us that there are some people that just won't sell out. Adam and Eve sold out for the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible says that Esau sold out for a bowl of pottage. Achan sold out for a golden wedge and a Babylonian garment and a bag of silver. Samson sold out for a woman. Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver. And the Bible says that Demas, having loved this present world, sold out for worldly living. But I'm glad that there's some in this Bible that just won't sell out. I tell you, that said, I won't sell out, and I'm glad that not everybody sells out. Not everybody gives up and waves the white flag of surrender and sells out just for anything. Now Ahab went down one day to Jezreel, and he noticed a plot of land that was right beside of his house. It was a vineyard. It belonged to this fellow by the name of Naboth. Ahab says to Naboth, "Sell me that vineyard right there. I'd like to make it into a garden of herbs." Naboth said, "I can't sell you my vineyard. In fact, I won't sell you my vineyard. I'll not give up that's been given to me. I will not sell out." Well, Ahab goes to the house. He begins to pout. He won't eat anything. And his wicked wife comes in, and she notices that his spirits are low and he's a pouting like a whipped pup. She says to him in words like, "What's wrong with you, honey?" He said, "I was up there today at Jezreel, and there's a vineyard there right next to where we own that house. And I asked that man by the name of Naboth to sell me that vineyard, and he will not sell me that vineyard." And Jezebel, being the wicked woman that she is, hey, listen, thank God, listen, for men that are willing to stand no matter what it'll cost them. Listen, they'll criticize us if we do preach it. They'll criticize us if we don't preach it. I'm just getting too old. I'm just going to preach it. Hey, we need preachers today that have preached to men in sin and sin in men. I've learned through these years, God's taught me a lot, that if you'll bow before God, you can stand before men and preach this precious word of God. And so Jezebel, Ahab's wife, writes out death letters against Naboth. Has the men of Jezreel to stand up and say that Naboth has blasphemed God and the king? They take Naboth out and they stone Naboth, and Naboth's life is taken. But thank God, listen, Naboth stood no matter what it cost him. And I'm glad this Bible tells us of people that's not willing to sell out but stand for what is right. Nathan was a man who stood for what was right. Elijah was an individual that stood for what was right. Paul was an individual that stood for what was right. Naboth says, I will not sell you my vineyard. You can't have what is mine. And listen, Ahab, my friend, had all of the money that there was to be got in that day as far as he was concerned. He could have anything that he wanted, but he wanted that one thing that belonged to Naboth. And Naboth said, you can't have what is mine. I want to preach on this thought tonight and give you four things. Write them down if you would. I tell you, not for sale. I want to preach on not for sale. I want you to notice four things about Naboth and that vineyard that was not for sale. Note, first of all, Naboth refused to sell Ahab his vineyard because, are you ready? Because of the change. Look at it in verse 2. Naboth said to Ahab, you can't have what is mine. It's not for sale because of the change. Look at it. He said, give me thy vineyard in verse 2. That I may have it for a garden of herbs. Now you've got to understand what Ahab was going to do here. Ahab is going to take Naboth's vineyard and he's going to turn it into a garden of herbs. And Naboth says, you can't have it. It's not for sale. Now let's go back with a little bit of history. You remember when God led the children of Israel out of Egypt? They came out there and after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, finally God brought them into the land of Canaan. Now listen to me. They lived in houses that they did not build. They drank from wells that was dug that they did not dig. And they drank wine from vineyards that they did not grow. My friend, when they were in Egypt, Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. You know what they had when they lived in Egypt? I'll tell you what they had. They had onions, garlic, leeks. You know what they had down in Egypt? They had herbs. And Ahab wants Naboth's vineyard because he's not satisfied with what God has given to Naboth, so he wants to take Naboth's vineyard and he wants to make it into a garden of herbs. Now you say, preacher, where are you going with this? Let's get the typology. When you've got the grapes, you've got the grapevine. And if you've got the grapevines, that means you've got the grapes. And that means you've got the juice of the grapes. And the typology is Jesus took the cup of wine, and that's a picture of the blood. And you know what Ahab wanted to do? He wanted to do away with the blood. Well, I'll tell you, folks, the blood ain't for sale. Naboth said, you can't have my vineyard. Hey, folks, listen. The blood is not for sale. He's not going to take the blood. He's not going to have my vineyard. Listen to me, my friend. You can do without a lot of things in Christianity, but we can't do without the blood. Amen. You can take all the blood songs out of this book. The Methodist Church already has. They don't like them blood songs. But I tell you, when you take the blood out of Christianity, you ain't got no gospel. Amen. There is no salvation without the blood. and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Now listen to me. I'm not against change. Change is good when it is a change for the better. But there are some things that just don't need to change. And folks, we don't need to mess with the atonement. We don't need to sell out the blood. Without the blood, we can't make it to heaven. Thank God. There's some things that's just not for sale. And Naboth said, Ahab, I know you're the king, but you can't have my vineyard. Number one reason you can't have it is because of the change. You can't have it. You're wanting to change it. And it's just not for sale. Secondly, look here. He said, Ahab, the vineyard's not for sale, not only because of the change, but because of the commandment. Look in verse 3. The Lord forbid it me. Naboth was saying to Ahab, he said, you can't have what I've got because the Lord forbids me. I can't sell. You see, when you go back and read Leviticus 25, and verse 34, when the children of Israel finally got into the land of Canaan, it was divided among the 12 tribes. God said you not to sell this land. In fact, God said don't sell it forever. He said if you get under hard times, you can rent it out, you can lease your property out, but you don't need to sell it. God said not to do it. And Naboth said to Ahab, I know you're the king, Ahab. I don't mean to show you any disrespect, but I can't sell you my vineyard because of the change, but because of the commandment. Let me tell you something, my friend. The laws of this great land in which we live may say you can do some things, but God says it's wrong. The laws of the land may say it's legal to commit abortions and kill little babies, but God says it's murder and it's wrong. The laws of the land may say it's respectable for two men to get married and two women to get married, but God says it's an abomination in the sight of God. Now, there's a lot of Baptist churches wouldn't want that preached. But I'm glad there's some things that's just not for sale, Brother Patrick. The vineyard ain't for sale. It's not for sale because of the change, but secondly, because of the commandment. But can I give you the third thing that it's not for sale on? The vineyard, Naboth said, is not for sale because of the cost. Naboth was saying to Ahab, now Ahab, listen. Let me tell you something. You're the king, but you've got to realize, back there several years ago, my grandparents, my grandfathers came across that river of Jordan led by Joshua. And we came in and we took this land. God gave it to us. But this land cost an awful lot. There were the giants. There were the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Perizzites. There was some bloodshed. It was of great cost and sweat and blood, and some even lost their lives. And I can't give you this land because Ahab, it cost too much. I believe Ahab, or Naboth stood there in front of Ahab and said, Ahab, you ain't got enough money in the bank to buy this property. I believe Naboth was that type of fella. I remember years ago when I was growing up as a boy, and I recollect this just like it was yesterday. We was raised on an old farm, and we was poor. We didn't even have running water in the house. We put the milk in the spring house. I can still remember that. But we was poor. All we had was two pair of blue jeans and two shirts and a good pair of shoes to wear to school. Every evening I'd come home. We was taught that you take your good clothes off, fold them up, put them on a hanger and hang them up, because you didn't wash them every day like we do today.
Right.
We wore those pants for 2 or 3 days. Mom only washed once a week. And sometimes I'd get at school, and as a young boy, I loved to play ball. And every kid loves to bat and ball, and I'd get out there in them fields and play, and every once in a while I'd come home, and I'd hear Mom say, "Son, where in the world did you get that grass stain all over them knees?" She said, "If you only knew how much trouble it was to get that stain out of the knees of them britches." And then one day I saw her at the washing tub. We had an old Ringer wash machine on the back porch. I could still recollect it. But instead of Mom washing them blue jeans in that wash machine, I seen her with a scrub board, and she was rubbing the knees of them britches to get them stains out. Then I realized quickly it cost a lot to get them stains out of them britches. But you know what, tonight? It cost God a lot to get the stain out of our old dirty hearts. Naboth said, "That vineyard's not for sale." Why? Because of the change. You can't change it. And because of the commandment. But not only that, it's not for sale because of the cost. Oh, the Bible said in Revelation 1 and verse 5, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Oh, Brother Jay, it wouldn't be so amazing if he'd have loved us after he washed us, but he loved us, Brother Patrick, before he ever washed us. Oh, listen, let me tell you tonight, listen, it took the blood of the Son of God to wash your filthy heart. And boy, it costs too much to sell out. Hey, church, I don't care if there ain't but 20 of us sitting here. Thank God we don't need to sell out because it costs God his Son. I like old-fashioned church services. I tell you, before I got out of evangelism and went back into pastoring, I'd go up north and preach in some of them churches, and some preachers I went to Bible college with. Now, instead of singing out of the hymnal, they're singing from a screen and singing some contemporary. I'm glad we still sing the old blood songs out of the hymn books. Hey, listen. God can pardon you, but he can't do it without the blood. Almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God can redeem you, but he can't redeem you without the blood. 1 John 1 and verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Heaven can be yours, but you can't make it to heaven without the blood. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, that is through his veil, that is through his flesh. Paul said in Hebrews 10:25. Peace can be ours. But you can't get peace without the blood. In Colossians 1 and verse 6, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Hey, we couldn't have peace without the blood. Amen. Glory to God, that'll make a Baptist get excited. You can't get justified. Hey, the slate can't be wiped clean. There's sins that's standing guilty, making you guilty before the judgment of God. But oh, because, listen, Paul said in Romans 5 and verse 9, much more than being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath to come. Thank God, I'm not going to go through no tribulation time. I'm heading out of here. Just as soon as the trumpet toots, I'm gone. You are too. You know why? The slate's been wiped clean. We're saved from wrath because of the blood. Well, I'll get around this last point in a minute. I'm glad that Naboth said it's not for sale. It's not for sale because of the change. It's not for sale because of the commandment. It's not for sale because of the cost. But look here in verse 4. He said it's not for sale because of the children. For he said, verse 4, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. That key word is the inheritance. He said, my vineyard ain't for sale because of the children. It's an inheritance that's been passed down to my kinfolk, and finally it's been given to me, and if I sell you my vineyard, then what am I going to give my children? Let me say to you and I tonight spiritually, you and I didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to earn this inheritance. You couldn't have bought it if you'd have wanted to buy it. Hey, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not. Thank glory to God, I've got an inheritance one day. My wife and I, we don't own a thing but that old house up on that hill. It's just vinyl. You can take an arrow and shoot all the way through from one side out to the other. Just an old vinyl house, ain't got no brick on it. And Jay, I tell you, it's been there for 15 years. You remember coming? You and the church came and plumbed that house free of charge for me. Didn't cost me a dime. I'll be ever grateful for this church for what they've done for me and my family. I'll be ever grateful. I'm not bringing that up to, you know, for you to brag and not brag on the Lord, but the Lord used you all to help me and my wife. We don't have no savings account, me and my wife. We just live from month to month, just like everybody else does. We don't have no stocks and bonds. In fact, I don't even have no retirement. My wife's got a little retirement at the job that she's got. And you say, preacher, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you get old? Well, there's plenty of rest homes. I figured we all head in there someday anyway, but I'm not looking forward to no rest home. I'm looking for Jesus to come. Amen.
Yeah.
If I get banged up, they just put me in a rest home. We go over there every month, the church does, I pastor, and we preach a little bit and sing to them elderly people in that rest home. We go every third Sunday in every month. Hey, listen, I don't have much in this world. I'm still paying for what I do owe. I borrowed a little money to bank, and I still owe it, still paying my payments. And one day we'll have it paid for. But I'm going to tell you something. Listen, there's some things that's not for sale because it's an. Hey, I've got an inheritance. You see, I've got a brother. I've got a brother. Have you met him? If you ain't met him, let me tell you about it. His name's Jesus.
Amen.
He's my elder brother. And he owns it all. And what he owns, only with him.
Amen.
I'm an heir and a joint heir with him. And oh, listen, I've got an inheritance. Ahab, Naboth said, Ahab, you can't have my vineyard. You know why, Ahab? Because of the change, because of the commandment, because it costs too much, but because of the children. Hey, I've got to have something to give my children. I've got little faith and hope. My daughter is Joy, and Joy's got little faith and hope. Little faith and hope. I took them to school this morning before I left. I go up every morning, and let me tell you what I do for little faith and hope. They're my pride and joy. They're my life besides the Lord. That's all I care about is the Lord and preaching the word. But I love my grandchildren, love my family. And God's been good to us. But I go up every morning and I help Joy get little faith and hope ready. I get their food ready. Most times cereal or a honey bun or something. Get them some milk out. And I feed them. They're five. They'll be five in January. And after we eat a few minutes, I go up every morning at 6:30. And I feed them. And then once we get done eating, we go in the bathroom, we brush our teeth. And then guess what we do? My guitar stays up at Joy's. I got a git fiddle, Brother Steve. And I get my guitar out and we sing a song. Every morning. They know all them songs. They just learned the new one that I learned. And that's the King and the Beggar. Oh, they love singing the King and the Beggar. They say, let's sing that Beggar King song. And we sing a little bit. They're not even five yet. They know every song I know. And listen, you know what? You know why things ain't for sale? I've got an inheritance. I've got to give them my inheritance. Listen, I wasn't raised in church. The only name of God I heard was in vain, living on that old farm. But oh, I want my grandchildren. Listen, Joe and John knows their daddy loved the Lord and served God and tried his best. No, I wasn't perfect. But oh, listen, I lived in front of them while I lived in the pulpit. And I want to do the same for my grandchildren. I tell you, we're living in a wicked world, folks. That world out there is not a friend of the grace of God, and they'll do everything they can to destroy our kids. But there's some things that's just not for sale. Oh, listen. If little faith and hope was here tonight, they'd bless your heart. Well, I think they'd bless your heart because I'm proud of them. But if I had them up here tonight, you know what? I'd say, faith and hope, tell them your name. Tell them your age. Tell them your birth date. Tell them where you go to school at. Tell them your principal's name. Tell them your teacher's name. Tell them tell them where you live at. And tell them your address. They know it all. Tell them your address. They know it. And then I say, where you go to church at? They'll tell you where they go to church at. What's your pastor's name? They'll tell you their pastor's name. Then I'll say, who's your favorite preacher? And they'll say, Papa. Glory to God. You know why? Hey, some things just ain't for sale. Yeah. Glory to God. Hey, folks, you know what? You get to the place that you just want to throw your hands up and quit. You say, preacher, you been there? I've been there and done that. I've been there and done that. Wanted to throw my hands up, Patrick, and just throw in the towel. Yeah. But you know what? We can't. We can't. You know why? Because of these little children. Because of these little boys and girls. Look at these little boys. Somebody's got to say something's ain't for sale. Amen. I want to ask you tonight. Listen, if you forget everything I preach tonight, why don't we? Why don't you say, preacher, I'm getting old. I ain't ready to do anything for God. Well, go back and read about Joshua. Read about Joshua. And Caleb, look at Caleb. Let me ask you tonight, why don't we make our mind up that we'll go out and we'll drive up a big steak. Drive you the biggest old steak that you can and get you a piece of paper and write on that piece of paper and nail it on that stake, not for sale. Not for sale. There's some things not for sale. You know what? This old Bible ain't for sale. I got preachers that won't let me preach because I preach out of a King James. But I'm not going to sell this old book. Why would I want an NIV Bible that leaves Jesus' name out 186 times? That leaves 23 complete verses out of the Bible. And that's what the NIV Bible does. It leaves Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of our sin. They take out through His blood. It's out. It's not even in that verse. Through His blood, it's not in that verse. My Bible ain't for sale. You say, what do you... Hey, you know what? I've got a cross pulpit in my church. And right behind that pulpit, it's wrote, all who preach here use only King James. Had one member say something about it. And that's been the end of it. I ain't want nobody to preach behind my pulpit unless they use the King James.
Right.
Amen. Hey, some things just ain't for sale. I'm not going to sell out. Not for sale. Let's make our mind up. Let's drive our stakes deep. Listen, if there's ever a time we need to stand and stand and not retreat, not give up, not go back, but stand and say, it's not for sale. Not for sale. Not for sale. Let's stand.